Some thoughts on buying out a business partner. Fresh out of a meeting this morning on a topic that I think is on the minds of many small business owners who happen to be in partnerships of maybe small to medium-sized businesses, probably a better way to say it. I thought this would be a perfect topic to speak about today because I do have quite a few opinions on this. Having been involved in lots of business partnerships, I also have quite a bit of experience with what works well, what doesn't work well. I can't share with you what you should do. I can only tell you what I have experienced. And so the purpose of today's episode is to give you a little bit of direction on what it means when you get to a point where you and your business partner or partners are deciding to walk away. So I'll create a little bit of context first. The company I was meeting with, I actually met with them 7 years ago when they first put their business together. I was there at those initial conversations where they had left the company that they were with. They really needed some work quickly. If they didn't all know each other, they probably would have all been independent consultants, but they decided to lock arms and do work together. 7 years later, one of them has decided to move out of the city and has gone somewhere else. That was partly brought on by COVID, but now that COVID is coming to an end, or companies have now adjusted, they realize that working remote for their particular business doesn't work extremely well. So there's kind of a general consensus that the partnership is no longer going to be valuable. So now they're looking at parting company. I was brought in because I was familiar with how their partnership came together. I was there to help them sort of talk through some of the things that maybe they weren't thinking about. And so they brought me back in today and we kicked around a couple of ideas. And so this episode I'm going to just share some of those ideas, some of the things that we discussed, and hopefully you will find this helpful if you're in a position of trying to figure out how do you get bought out, or how do you buy out your business partner? So with that as the backdrop, the business itself is a service business. So when we're thinking about buying out a partner, there's a couple of quick things that I usually look for. So the first thing is, do you have a shareholders agreement? When the partnership was formed, did everyone come to the table and did everyone agree on either a standard form shareholders agreement, or was there an agreement of any other sort? Now, my disclaimer is, I'm not a lawyer, not an accountant. I'm simply a guy that is actively involved in many businesses every day. And so everything I'm sharing is not meant to be advice. It's really just meant to be some thoughts on buying out a business partner. So first thing that I'm looking for is there any structure around the partnership? Now, it's not uncommon that partnerships don't end up getting papered. Certainly businesses where people are using their knowledge as opposed to building a widget or a warehouse full of inventory or a retail location with lots of staff, like depending on the business, it's not uncommon that a services business may not have a partnership agreement or a shareholders agreement or anything that governs their relationship, because traditionally business partnerships come together because everybody has a lot of energy and a lot of optimism about what the future holds. And so people generally think that today is going to look like 10 years from now. And it just doesn't. As you get into business partnerships, you realize that the less time you spend upfront trying to define the terms of the relationship, what the expectations are, and ultimately what the exit strategy is. So if you spend no time on that, you spend an enormous amount of time when you are in a moment like this particular group was, where they now have to kind of sort through this stuff. Everyone thought they were all on the same page going into the partnership, but because it was never spoken about, because it was never written down, because nobody asked a lot of tough questions, you get to an awkward moment where now someone has to leave the partnership and you end up having a conversation like the one I had this morning. So first of all, in this particular example, there was no governing agreement. So 7 years ago, even though they knew they should have put something together, they really just rolled up their sleeves and got to work, started making some money. And so then the next thing that I sort of walk through and look for is there any sort of pattern about how partners were being remunerated, or how were they getting paid? Were there any dividends issued? Were there any performance bonuses? Were there any big management fees paid out based on successful projects? In this particular case, two of the three partners, when the partnership was formed, had decided to forego their management fees in order to provide enough cash flow so that the other partner could get paid and that the business would be able to cover its own costs. So they booked the expenses into their P&L, their profit and loss statement, but they didn't end up taking the cash out until the business had the cash. And I don't think, if I remember correctly, I don't think they had actually gotten all of their money back. So sitting on the books were a couple of shareholder loans, but those all three partners were taking, in essence, an equitable salary from the business, or an equal salary rather from the business. And so looking to establish, okay, you got no agreements, nothing is governing your relationship, but is there a history of performance that can kind of help us guide our efforts into figuring out how does someone walk away from this? And there hadn't been any dividends paid. There hadn't been any performance bonuses. There was nothing paid. So technically speaking, being partners and shareholders in the company, there wasn't any real value being created. The opposite of that would be, no, every year we paid out profits. And then if the company needed money, we all put money back in to cover our expenses. And that was just what we did for the last 7 years. But in this case, they didn't do that. They made enough money to pay their salaries. The money in the bank was used to pay expenses. But because they trade their time for money and they have a small team of people working for them, there isn't really any value being created outside of the goodwill of the customer database, the annual billings that they're able to generate from their business. And so originally the partners thought, let's get a couple of business valuators involved and let's come up with a valuation. For me, when you're dealing with a company that doesn't have a shareholders agreement, when there's no history of how the natural movement of the partnership was working, it can be hard to all of a sudden put a hard stop in place and say, okay, now we're going to do this by the book. Now we're going to determine what the real book value of this business is, and we're going to look to come up with a way to pay you out. So what I had said to the group this morning was, I said, well, assuming all of that went really well, can you cut the check to pay that partner out? And the answer was, well, no, we don't have the money to do that. And I said, okay, well, are you going to borrow the money then to pay them out of this business if the cash isn't physically sitting in the bank account? And they said, no, you know, we're not too interested in that. And then I said, well, what is the expectation of both parties? And so they went on to say that the partner that is leaving really was hoping to stay on payroll until the end of the year. Well, they kind of transitioned this person out of their role, and that they weren't really, this wasn't an adversarial parting of the ways. It was just, it didn't work out. Life changed because of COVID and their business partnership no longer needed to look the way it looked. And so I had offered up and I had said, well, then if all of you have an interest in walking away from the partnership, so one partner is going to leave and the other two are going to remain, and they've told you that they really are looking to be compensated until the end of the year, and if we look at how much money they put into the business originally, I think it was about $10,000, maybe the best deal, because you guys can't write a check anyway, is to keep them on payroll. They get to recover the investment that they put into the partnership, and they get a little bit of runway so that over the next, what would that be, 4 months, 5 months, they are able to maybe find some other employment. They can maybe stay on your benefits plan. And once that last payment has been made, then the shares would automatically transfer over. And so in today's episode, I realized that buying out a business partner can be very complex. There are a lot of moving parts and there's a lot of details, not the least of which are the emotions that everyone at the table is feeling. And today, as we talk through it, what you quickly realize is that what we thought of as something very complicated, because no one has ever done this before, and what this particular group does every day, they're a bunch of engineers, so they're not really sitting around thinking about legal agreements and all this sort of stuff. It just seemed like the simplest way to structure a deal where one partner could be bought out by the other two partners. There's no history of the business sitting on piles of cash that were ever paid out or accumulated. So the partner leaving would know that, you know, I really don't have anything in the business that I'm trying to capture right now. The other two partners could simply be silent on it. I said, you guys could just choose not to buy out the third partner, and because they're not doing any work, they could just sort of sit there. But everyone had an interest in making sure that they could all look back a few years from now and say, was that the best deal we could have made at the time? And because getting a valuation and then deciding what their share would be worth in light of the fact that no one could actually cut the check sort of seemed like a bit of a useless exercise. And given that there's no history of the business generating big amounts of cash, there are no dividends being paid out, there are no performance bonuses being paid out, then the whole exercise almost feels a little bit forced and is expensive. It's not cheap to get some business valuations done. And if it's not even just the dollar cost, there's a bunch of time because all of a sudden you have a couple of valuations that are, you know, done on a slightly different basis. Then you've got to try and get all of the parties to agree on what a fair valuation would be. And if you've ever gone through this exercise or this conversation, probably the hardest thing in business to do is to come up and come up with a number and have everybody agree on what a valuation is. Some people will look to overshoot the mark because of what their personal incentive is. Some people will look to undershoot the mark because of what their personal incentives are. And so valuation is very, very tricky. When you have a business that is somewhat unstructured like this one, it's easier to have a conversation and for everyone to look at each other and say, what do we know about how we've been doing business? How does that translate into maybe us no longer doing business anymore? And what is a fair way for the business to continue to exist, but for me to be recognized for whatever I contributed? And in this particular case, it looked like over the next bunch of months, not only will you get back that original $10,000 that you put in, but you will make some additional money on top of that. You won't have to do any work. We'll keep you on our benefits plan. And once we've made the last payment to you, then you will just simply give us back the shares and everyone goes on their merry way. Now, I don't share this because I think this is a formula. I don't share this because I think this is going to work specifically for you. What I'm sharing is that sometimes you just need to talk out loud with somebody who is at arm's length, and a mediator can be one of those people, but you probably want someone with some experience, someone who's been through the conversation before. I certainly have, good, bad, and otherwise, and just talk through some of the very basic stuff. You know, they sort of had their mind stuck on coming up with a number for what the business was worth, not really paying a lot of attention to the fact that the value in the business is really just a derivative of the knowledge that the three partners were bringing to the table. So what is that really worth? Well, in my opinion, it's only worth whatever the revenue of the business is. The revenue is paying expenses. If there's cash that's piling up and it never got paid out, then obviously they would be entitled to some of that. But in a business like this, where people are basically taking out the wage that they themselves are earning through the work that they are doing, then, you know, you're kind of all looking at each other going, well, then what's the best way to transition out of this? I don't want to leave for nothing, because then I don't feel like that's equitable. I did contribute to the goodwill of the business. So then you just sort of have to say, okay, well, maybe we keep you on payroll over the next half year. We will pay you what you would normally have been paid. We'll keep you on our benefits plan. And that would give you a lot of time to transition into a new role, maybe even to go and start your own consulting shop. And we can all look back in a couple of years, look at each other and go, you know what? That was probably the best deal that we could have done given what we had to work with at the time. So buying out a business partner, not the easiest thing in the world to do. It gets complicated when you try to make it complicated, and sometimes having simple conversations can go a very long way. If you find yourself in this position, you want to chat with someone, happy to do it. I've got lots of ideas, lots of strategies. I can walk you through things that have worked for me, things that haven't worked for me. In this case, I've always found that when the business isn't very complicated and it's not huge and it's fairly self-contained with no overarching structure other than an agreement that everyone worked together, that's probably the best way to unwind the partnership as well, is to simply have a conversation and have everyone agree on what is equitable. I reminded the folks sitting in the boardroom today that usually the best deals, or in my opinion, the best deals are deals where not everybody got exactly what they wanted. And in this case, someone's not getting a big check up front, but they're going to get it over time. The other folks that are left in the partnership don't have to pay out a big chunk, but they do have to pay it out over time. So neither party, they didn't get exactly what they wanted, but they're both working within the constraints of what is available. And that, you know, I think that's a common sense approach to trying to figure out how to buy out a business partner. So in this episode, I was looking to share just some very simple ideas and conversation pieces to have around buying out a business partner. I fully appreciate that every circumstance is a little bit different. And if you want to talk about yours, I'm happy to do it. You can reach out to me. There's ways to do that down below in the show notes. If you found this helpful, please make sure to subscribe or rate it or interact with the content, because that means someone else might have a chance to benefit from it as well. And thank you for tuning in to this episode.